Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts, Salsa,
Matt,
and Jenna.
And we are, we're back in the saddle. It feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Look at us updating as we should so far, because we always end up getting late at some point and fucking up. But so far, we're right. We're on board.
Yay!
I don't know, I kind of got used to it with my other podcast.
Shut up. Anyway.
No, seriously. It was just like, record once and then 6 weeks later.
Oh, I've
later,
said a million times that we fucked that up.
Oh, yeah.
We fucked that up hard. Yeah. We actually, after Mystery Lodge this last weekend, we were talking about podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And you, well, no, you were there, and you and Tim, because he's like, you were talking about your show, you can just do a gang run of them. Mm-hmm. Kyle's show, they do a gang run, and Tim and Nick and Molly do a gang run of Geeks Without God. I was like, motherfucker. Like, that's what happens when you're the first person of all your friends to start something, is everybody else gets to improve on your model.
Yep.
Because they're all iterations. Like, we are the Iron Man that looks like it's made out of sheet metal. And, like, you know, Geeks Without God is like Mark 12. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and Kyle are somewhere like Mark 40, 45, somewhere in there, like whatever it might be, where all these people that have watched us toil away week after week for years and been like, that seems like a lot of time and work. What if we just condense all that to an afternoon once a month and then actually have goddamn lives? Also, what if we all only did one podcast?
What if we limited it to an hour?
So, yeah.
Hey, remember back when we said we were going to try to limit this shit to an hour?
No, I know, right? It's just it's I am the Model T looking at the fucking, like, Jaguar going like, I mean, in principle, we had the same idea. Get from A to B with four wheels. But it's different. Anyway, before we get too far afield, Salsa, what are we drinking?
Today we are drinking Virgin Screwdrivers.
That's kind of what I figured you were making there. Mm-hmm. What is it, Pellegrino?
Yep. The recipe says half orange juice, half Sprite, or lemon-lime soda, but I went with the lemon Pellegrino.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, classic.
Because like to tear we foil had off some things. In the fridge.
Attaboy.
Pinky's extended.
It actually tastes almost identical.
Yep.
It's got a little bite to it with the orange juice. Yeah. Not bad. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. That's,
I'm not saying it wouldn't be improved by some booze, but
it's
probably very much would be, but
well, that's good, though. I like it. It's refreshing.
But the soda effervescence gives it a little bit of that.
Yeah, no, the good call on the soda.
Yeah, I think that's probably the move. So anyway, that's what we're having.
That's how we used to make mango soda at the Ethiopian restaurant I worked at.
Mm.
You take mango juice and then half mango juice, half Sprite.
Huh.
And it makes this really nice mango soda.
That sounds pretty good.
Quite delicious.
I like that. Mango's a good flavor.
I drank a shit ton of that stuff.
Yeah. So speaking of last weekend, we did the second performance of Mystery Lodge.
Yeah, how was that, you guys?
It was good.
Smaller crowd. Still
in like the mid-70s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a good-sized crowd.
I think 73 was...
Yeah, 12 tables.
Something like that. Yeah, it was
out of,
it was
I think, a possible 16, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was still a really good crowd. Don't get us wrong, but yeah, it wasn't the 120 that we had the first time.
Sure. But, it went well.
Still a good crowd.
A smooth show, a fun show. Again, we shouldn't give away, like, the plot points because it will be the kind of thing that gets remounted. But with the changes from the first time we did it, I think things ran pretty well.
And
it was
then
good.
We followed it up with just short form, you know, double blind.
Like a mini double blind style improv. That was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed that.
It was pretty great because apparently there was a whole gaggle.
All of table 10.
All of table 10. Which is what, 6-7 people?
6-8, somewhere in there.
Were bishops. Lutheran bishops.
Which was pretty dope.
So, at one point during the double blind portion of the thing, one of the jobs, like, you might be, and they said bishop. And so when Tim was like, okay, bishop, and bear in mind...
that all those people
may be somebody in the audience who might not like irreverent humor.
But I think it worked pretty well.
No, we said some funny stuff, and they were howling with laughter.
Yeah, so. That was nice. Fun.
We did well there. But the audience did well. We had one table, and a couple other people peg the real killer. Not killer, the real thief.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a pretty good mix.
It was, I think, more even than the first time.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty widely spread out with
virtually
suspicion.
Everybody got somebody.
Yeah. I think this was something about the way this one was set up, I think, moved the suspicion around more.
Mm-hmm.
And that might just be because it's kind of the second draft on the original script where you have to even it out and take some of the polish off some of the tells.
I think the first time around, because we knew who was doing it, we could focus on making those clues there.
Yeah.
And the other clues were throwaways. The second time around, all of the clues for the original one were still there.
Pretty much, yeah.
And all of the clues for the second, you know.
So it'll get more and more clue-like exactly. as we do it. Yeah.
So, we had a pretty good situation with the restaurant there. We had better microphones set up.
Yeah, they've been wonderful. We'll be back there this fall to do Murder at Mystery Lodge, yeah. which will be completely new characters, new script, not just like new outcome, but totally new. We'll be back there this fall. We'll talk about that more as we get closer. Mm-hmm. But same place, the Heartwood Conference Center in Trego, Wisconsin, who both times we've been there now have been phenomenal to us.
Yep.
And seemed to serve a pretty goddamn great dinner. Like, a three-course meal. And, like, I was watching, as we were doing our bit, we have to go around and talk to the tables, and I'm watching people eat steak and shrimp, and I'm going, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to eat fucking shrimp.
Well, we got the throwaway.
We got the cast food.
We get the cast food.
Which is actually good.
Which was amazing. Yeah, it was
we got the cheap
wild rice and chicken in this like olive sauce.
Something with mushrooms or something on it.
It had black olives in it.
Or black olives, that's what it was. Yep.
Whole black olives.
It was really good.
Olives, that sounds amazing.
Sauce, this like creamy sauce on top of chicken breast, and then this wild rice, and then
like baby carrots, they were like glazed with something. Yeah. They were a little sweet.
Yep, and just
But it was just like, okay, here's your cast dinner. And you know, if you've done like dinner theater, which I'm not saying I'm an expert, like I've done this, but you know, if there's a thing where it includes food for the cast, it's the cheapest possible food.
Yeah.
So we got chicken, they got steak. Not complaining in the least.
Yeah.
Holy shit, was it good.
Yeah.
And they brought in like this huge tray of all this food, and seconds later, it's gone. Like, we just got inhaled by the cast.
I actually when. Because as the chef character, I spent a lot of time in the kitchen. And while I was in there, I was like, who cooked that? Because it was
really good. Yeah.
But yeah, just sitting in the kitchen as they're preparing those steaks and the shrimp and everything else going through. And then the pie. And then the...
I actually like the times I had where I was off stage out in the hallway. I could like chat or make jokes at the folks working the room. Because they'd be like, oh, sorry, I don't want to get in your way. I'm like, you're doing actual work. I'm jerking off in front of an audience.
I spent almost all of my time in the kitchen just being like, where do you want me to be now?
Where am I out of the way? Yeah.
And they were like, no, you're fine. And I was like, whatever. I don't want to be in your way.
Don't even say you're doing push. Shit. That place has been great. And like this, I got to stay over this time, which is delightful because driving back at, you know, midnight is a drag.
I had to.
No, which I did the first time. Around, and that's a drag because the amount of deer that you see is alarming.
One.
Yeah.
It's almost crazy. Because I had that moment where I glanced down at the radio and went, you know, volume or something like that, and looked up and just...
Glowing eyes.
Whoosh!
Yep.
No, it raced past.
Oh, you got even closer than I did.
Oh, yeah. No, it was...
But it was like every mile or so, just glowing eyes in the ditch. And it's like, and if you're not from like a rural place, that's not as creepy as it sounds. That's like what you just expect.
Yeah.
But like when I left last time, I drove up with Lauren. And so I gave her a ride back and we're heading out and she goes, don't forget deer. And I'm like, what? And she goes, the deer. And she goes, turn your brights. And I turn my brights and it's just like two dots as far as you could see. And I was like, motherfucker. So we ended up driving 20 miles an hour below the speed limit the whole time, hoping I'd have time to brake if I needed to, like before we got to the freeway. Yeah. Because the sound of the freeway, I think, keeps them farther off. But, like, those little back roads, it was just like, so for the first 20 miles to get through Hinkley back onto 35W, mm-hmm. it was just like, there's fucking deer everywhere. Yep. Like, what the fuck?
I saw two or three, but the one that I almost slammed into, because it raced across the road right in front of me.
Yeah, deer are not smart, if you had to have that explained to you.
So.
So.
But yeah, no, it was, God, that the people that work there are just so nice.
Yeah, they're super friendly. The room was really nice. Like I said, I got to finally stay over, and so...
And there was a little bit of food left over afterwards, and so, like, the staff was, like, putting these steaks on their plate, mm-hmm. and going back to eat, and I was like, I want to work here.
Yeah, damn. No, that's a
this
pretty...
This is what you guys eat an awesome for dinner? Moment.
Well, assuming there's any left,
well,
is
that's
the truth.
Right. No, yeah. Absolutely.
Feast or famine, that kind of joke.
Yeah. No, it's true. Last time, there wasn't.
Yep. But yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, that's a good night for them.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I got to stay over. So like, we had because when we found out, like, okay, like the place isn't totally sold out. It's like, Megan, you know, if you want to come up, if you want to grab a ticket, we can drive up together. We can stay. I get a free hotel room.
She seemed like she was enjoying herself.
Oh, for sure. You know, I was just like, it's a free weekend away for us. Like, why not?
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck it, that's worth it. Because like the $30-odd for a ticket.
Oh yeah,
still way cheaper than a hotel room anywhere.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, fuck it. Yeah, why not? And I'm like, okay, now here's the deal.
You get dinner and a show.
Yeah, I was like, the deal is, like, you're gonna get fed. Now you're going to have to watch a show where I act like a jackass and actually come and talk to you at your table. So your only job is to not fuck that up. And she and Lauren arranged it so that Megan and Kevin, Lauren's boyfriend, got to sit at the same table next to each other. Because they were actually split under random tables with complete strangers. So they swapped it around so that the two of them ended up at a table with like four other people they didn't know.
Very smart.
And then as soon as I walked over to the table, the two of them kind of leaned towards each other, just covered their mouths and for the entire 2 minutes I'm doing my thing and just let the other four people talk. And they said the folks they were with like sussed out immediately, like, okay, you must know somebody here, because like, who the hell are you? You know, and because they're just like this random two people, whatever. And so they're like, yeah, that's, you know, my girlfriend's with my boyfriend. Okay, cool. So you know what happens? They're like, not really, because we don't, you know, like Megan kind of knew this thing, but she didn't actually know who the culprit was.
Yeah,
and maybe Kevin knew, I don't know. But they also know enough not to ruin it. Right. So there's like, we're just here, you know. Like we're just gonna watch and we're gonna have our meal, and then afterwards we'll hang out. So that was fun. They hung out and watched the improv, and a good chunk of the folks stayed to watch improv, which is cool.
About half, I'd say.
Yeah, it was just great for like being later at night and just like, all right, this kind of a random throwaway gag. But the people that stayed laughed. They were really a fun, attentive audience.
Well, they're finishing their pie.
Yeah, and then we all went back to Megan and my room and talked Marvel movie theories. And did that until, like, midnight, and then we all went, like, okay, we got to go.
Oh, God, last time around, we were up until, like, fucking 2.
Well, almost everybody had to leave at, like, 5 or 6 in the morning to get back to do something. So, like, I know you had to leave, Dawn and Angel had to leave that night. Maybe somebody else. No, maybe that was it. And everybody else was there, but, like, Tim and Duck and I think Kyle all had to leave by, like, 6. So they were like, all right, love you guys, but going to bed. And by then it was just, like, I was tired, too, because I was like, screw it. Like, well, it is,
a lot to do, because, I mean, I had a Vill show the night before already.
Right, so you're already, like, running out.
Well, here was my 2 weeks. So I was on call for Monday through Thursday.
Sucker.
Friday, I had a Vill show. Saturday, I had Mystery Lodge. Sunday, my wife left for Vegas.
Yeah.
My wife is in Vegas right now. I'm home alone with the kids. She gets home on Wednesday. On Thursday, my parents arrive.
Oh, fun.
On Thursday is also when I'm doing a Real Education podcast. And then on...
What movie?
Taxi Driver.
Oh, fun. I've still never seen that. That was one of the ones I wanted to do. Yeah.
Saturday, I'm doing... Sunday I'm doing the Fest preview at the Mall of America.
I'm assuming you're there too, Jenna.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Sunday is also the day
I have all the French rehearsals. Okay.
Is Sigourney going to be there, though?
Sigourney will be there.
Yep. Okay, cool.
Yep, Sigourney will be there. I will not.
Okay.
So my parents leave on Sunday morning, then I go and do the Sunday afternoon, the preview, and then Monday I'm back on call.
Fine.
At work.
You chose
so
poorly.
It's gonna suck, but yeah, I had to race home so Raiderly could take off.
I didn't have to race home because the first thing I had to do was the improv open jam for Fearless at 3. Mm-hmm. So I managed to get home by like 1, and that was enough. But yeah,
absolutely.
So what did you do besides drive to Wisconsin, Jenna? Because we were clearly there drinking all the New Glarus.
Yeah, no, I did not step foot in Wisconsin. I did. Like, the weekend was mostly projects. I did an S.R. Harris run. I did a Tandy run.
Did just, like, one of those close, and it was, like, a Sky is Falling thing? Because I remember thinking they were all closing. Like, S.R. Harris.
Like, Hancock, Fabric.
There was some big thing going on the internet, like, 6 months ago. That was, like, S.R. Harris is closing, and there was this huge sale, and a bunch of people went. It must have been just a single location.
I think it was Hancock. I think Hancock was closing a whole bunch of them.
Maybe. I swear it was S.R. Harris was on it, though.
Yeah. There were a lot of people freaking out about Hancock. But, yeah. No, S.R. Harris is still exactly where it has been with all of the mishmash of... That's kind of like a Fabric... thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's still my favorite. Yeah.
Love it.
Those
love
places,
it.
Yeah. I'm
like, I need this, and this. And I'm like, fuck, if I know where to look.
Yeah.
2 hours later, I've got something resembling what
it
was.
You plan for an afternoon there.
Yeah, if you go there, it's the same thing that
you don't go there to shop, you go there to browse.
Right. It's like when you go to the Mall of America. Don't go there with an agenda.
No.
Yeah.
Go there to be there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I needed to buy fabric for Jess's costume. And she wasn't horribly particular. We had some ideas. She had a feel she wanted.
What's she doing this year?
Have we talked about that?
She is going to be the lackey of a mercenary.
Ha.
So, Captain America.
Squired?
Basically, yeah.
I guess.
Captain
wow.
America
on
has
point.
A lackey.
Irrelevant.
So,
well done. So,
a page.
Would that make her
kind of?
Except that she's not really that.
Because pages eventually become squires.
Do they?
Squires.
Yeah, I don't. That
like, that's not necessary.
That's assuming Captain America is a knight, which he is not.
That's true.
Well, he is a lance knight, which is by definition a knight.
Are they?
Because knight is
I
knight.
I still oh. don't think that his lackey is a squire, though.
Okay.
I think he's just like hired thug lackey kind
oh,
of a thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kind of that kind
that's
of a thing.
That's different.
Back
yeah.
up.
So then, yeah, Jess is going to be the manly lackey to the lackey. Not at all being manly.
Excellent.
A lot of bluster.
She's using her effeminate ways and lack of body breasts to really play up this character's lack of masculinity. While not having to dress like a chick out at festival, which is really fucking smart. Yeah. So anyway, so I got her some fabric that's like pink and green and embroidered with flowers and stuff to really heighten the masculinity of that character.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like you do.
Yeah. That way that character can be in camouflage, you know, just ready to strike.
At any moment.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
Hiding in the
it's in like a
in
sofa wheeled through yeah. a forest.
Right. So yeah, she'll be doing that this year.
Well, nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
So roving street thug, essentially.
Basically, yeah.
Cool.
And then yeah, so I got fabric for that. Got fabric my baby brother. It's his birthday tomorrow, by the way, everybody.
Happy birthday.
But he's making me a modular belt. So you know how you get, like, a belt, and then you've got all of these, like...
Okay, a belt is a thing that goes around your waist.
Okay. Okay.
Rope?
And then kind
yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
This is one's made of leather.
Okay.
Leather rope.
Yes.
Ah.
Sure. But instead of having to string and unstring pouches and hangers and various items as I need throughout the day, they're basically just, like, toggle clicks.
Hmm.
And so I can untoggle a pouch and toggle on, like, a sword hanger.
Interesting.
And then I can untoggle that and toggle on, like, a drumstick holder.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing what that looks like.
You can just mix and match
that's
your pouches, basically.
Because that could be dope. Yeah.
But then you don't have to go through, like, the whole, now I'm unstringing everything, now I'm restringing
my
everything.
My setup's pretty, like, consistent and basic, but
yeah.
That could still be fun just to have the options, because there are times it would be nice to be able to get rid of something without taking my belt off, sliding much shit off, hoping I don't forget it.
And it really helps for, like, certain things that I do throughout the day. Like, when I'm doing dance-type stuff, I want as little on my belt as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So just toggle on a bunch of these, like, little... but if I have to have something on me, like my pass or something, you
right.
know, just make it the lightest weight thing and then done.
Nice.
So yeah, he's making one of those for me. He's really freaked out cause he's never made something like this before. I'm really excited cause I've seen the stuff he makes and it's really good. So
right.
yeah.
Cool.
So yeah. And then I had a fight audition, for one of my fights for Fest. It was well received, so
good.
Yay. And dance rehearsal for Fringe. So
how'd that go?
Really well. I'm picking up on this dance real quick.
Nice.
And actually I have... Okay, so let me brag about my place of employment for a second.
Okay.
In the downstairs, we have, like... We have, like, a catered cafeteria and things like that, but one of the other things that we have... Oh, like, in a game room and in various, like, fun extras. But we also have a gym. And by that I mean we have... There's one room that is just, like, ellipticals and and free weights and
maybe
treadmills.
Maybe a treadmill in the corner, yeah.
No, there's about 6 or 7 treadmills. Oh, like, it's a room.
Oh, okay.
Full of a bunch of electrical equipment, because you'll see, like, you could fit 30 to 40 people in that room.
Okay.
Working out at any given point in time.
That's hefty.
But then they also have two other rooms. One of them is a yoga / dance room.
Okay. Ooh, those sound like moving.
That's rather the point of Ooh. The fitness area.
Ooh.
You
can fake it on an exercise bike because you're just sitting down, really.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Which I have, so I'm not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
The snoring usually gives me away.
Yeah, right.
But, so there's this dance / yoga room, that has, like, you know, yoga mats and all of this stuff, but it's basically a dance floor with a wall of mirrors.
Mm.
So, as I'm working on this dance for my Disconnect friend show, I actually have a dance room that I can practice in and, sure. and look at what my body's doing without having to do the thing where you videotape yourself and then you play mm-hmm. it back and you go, well, that's not what I was trying to do, and then you record yourself again.
Did you do that scene from Flashdance or whatever that was?
No.
No, see, you
by what she means,
missing
yes, but she's
missing
not
an opportunity.
You.
Yeah.
Totally did that.
Then the other room that they have down there is a meditation room.
Is that just a room with no mirrors?
It's got no mirrors, and it's
That's
got, like...
the room where you sleep.
Kind of like a Japanese... Actually, you probably could.
Hmm.
But, yeah, it's got, like, a nice low kind of padded bench thing. Like, you could sleep there or
that
on the floor.
Right.
I mean, in the long run...
That's what, more my speed.
The difference between om and... is what? What's the difference?
A couple syllables.
Yeah.
Inhaling versus exhaling.
Sure.
But it also has, like, low lights, and you can play, like, specific, like, tonal music type stuff or whatever, and it's all, yeah.
Like, Slipknot?
I really like the meditation. I like doing yoga in the meditation room, because it's just, like, super low input, chill, whatever.
Hmm.
But, yeah, no, I spent, about an hour after work today in the dance room, just working on my dance.
Hmm.
So.
Oh.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So I like work. Also, you guys, you don't care.
You're right.
But I took a poke walk today at work.
Poke walk?
Oh, I had to translate that. Pokey walk.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Oh, poke. Oh, okay.
I heard polka walk.
Yeah, that's, as did I.
And because we have like all those natural paths and stuff around mm-hmm. my place of employment. And
where
I.
Oompa bands just leap out at you.
Yeah.
Yes. They
Roll
do now.
Roll out the pokey.
We'll have a pokey fun.
I caught a dratini.
Don't know what that is.
You guys have no clue.
Nope.
But maybe one or two of the listeners will be as excited as I am.
They're peeing their pants
it is
right now.
One of the most rare Pokemon.
High five.
Ooh,
yay!
You won the game.
No, that deserves a high five. That's how bored I was with that story.
Fist bump. But yeah, so now I have a Dratini, and you probably don't.
I literally don't.
I meant you to the listeners, not you guys. I know you guys.
Okay, cool.
Promise me you're going to name it Utini.
That would be a good name.
I might have to. I haven't been naming any of them.
You got to start with
Utini.
I might need to name this one Utini.
There you go. Now I'm interested.
Okay.
Because I want to hear reports from now on about Utini.
I do too.
You're like, Utini.
I will tolerate Pokemon
battle.
Reports if Utini is doing well.
All right.
So there you go. On that note, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll be back in just a second.
Sweet.
Done.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
All of my stuff was this last week.
So. But all our stuff coming up now will be Fringe related because we're back and I'm Matt.
And I'm Salsa.
And I'm Jenna.
That'll do.
God damn it. I was kind of hoping she'd forgotten.
Nope.
So, yeah, we've got the Fringe Festival draws nigh, which means we're going to spend a lot of time talking about it for the next couple weeks, because that's part of what you do when you're a performer, is you shamelessly whore your shit. And we did that last week a little bit, so we're going to shamelessly whore other things that we are interested in.
Oh my god, can we start with Neil Skoy's show?
Please, go ahead.
Holy fuck. Well, I just pulled up the show, and I'm looking at the cast list. I just figured that Neil Skoy... by the way...
we've not had him on the show, right?
We really should.
We need to do that.
We have an ever-growing list of people who haven't been but should be on
the show. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But Neil Skoy is a clowning talent, I would say.
Pluto out at Fest, you've probably heard us mention.
Yeah, but he's just... He's a really good clown. So, and he's got, like,
he
all of these...
Ringling Brothers, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's full on.
Yeah.
He went full clown.
Oh, God. Never go full clown.
Seriously.
He really did, though, go full clown. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I'm looking at this cast list, and he's got, like, Michael Renner, who's fantastic. But then also I'm looking, and he's got Benjamin Damask.
Yeah.
Oh. Is Magic and Movement.
Juggler. I saw Benjamin. So, Benjamin's been on. Yep.
Yeah.
Juggler.
He popped up on someone who I didn't know knew him. Someone else's feed was like, hey, blah, 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 this guy. And I was like, that guy's fucking rad. And I was just excited to see someone else mention him and going like, holy shit, this guy. And I'm like, yeah, like we knew that. So good on him for getting Benjamin because he's a talented motherfucker.
So anyway, the show that he's doing, I'll read the thing. It's the last day of summer at Wonder Park America.
What?
Between his last two performances, the resident magician's show and life fall apart over the course of one afternoon, and you get to be a part of it.
I love that. Yeah. Just like a Valley Fair type magician having his shit go sideways on his final day and just being like, fuck it. I can't wait to see that. That sounds amazing.
Getting too old for this shit.
No, it's, right? I only found out that Neil even had a show by when we went to the Fringe preview that he had postcards there. And I was like, looking around, I always look at all the postcards just to see. At this point, it's nice, honestly, that we've been doing stuff long enough that I can recognize names. Because if you look at the postcards, like sometimes the shows will grab you even if you don't know the names.
Right.
But it's hard to tell. You know, it's like a movie trailer. It's like, does this mean it's going to be good or not?
Mm-hmm.
But then you go, oh shit, I know, I've seen them, or I know that person, or whatever. And like, that makes it suddenly have a lot more weight. And just do-do-do-do-do, oh, what's this? Kind of a generic postcard. Oh, shit, it's Neil Skoy. I will see this now. Yes. Like, I don't care what it is. I don't need to read the postcard. Yep. It's going to be awesome.
In his more information, he's got a high-energy, alcoholic, interactive farce.
Yep. Cannot wait.
Yeah. I'm in.
I would see that.
Sold.
I'm looking through my Facebook events from things people invited me to. Itch that I mentioned last week. I've got Bird of Seven Colors that I mentioned last week. Still excited. Oh, The Last Red Shirt. That's one I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's Greg's. Put on by Greg Bauhoff. I can never
Bauhoff.
Pronounce it. Bauhoff. Yeah, but he was the one that did the film.
Yeah, the Dinosaur Cult of Doom that Jen and I were in that we posted on YouTube. And you can easily find if you look for that on YouTube.
There's now an animated GIF of me out there doing the dinosaur greeting.
Dinosaur greeting?
Secret dinosaur greeting, which it just makes me happy that exists
but,
on the internet.
Yeah, Greg is wicked talented. And they're doing The Last Red Shirt, which is, as you might imagine, a play about the final red shirt in the Star Trek universe and what that's like to kind of know your days are numbered. There's Gilligan, a Tropical Musical, which is a Gilligan's Island parody of Hamilton.
Which is, oh my god, their preview was
stupid
amazing.
Their preview's amazing, and then I don't know the deal there exactly, but I saw Erin Kennedy posting she's now Marianne in that show.
I don't think we've ever
said enough good things about Erin Kennedy. And
right?
So
you can't. I don't think it's possible.
You can't, yeah.
It's,
so if
talk for days.
That went from
and
a
days.
Thing I was really excited to see to a thing that now I just will like crawl over dead bodies to see, because that's exciting as fuck. Let's see, what else? Oh, we've got Damned If You Do, Calvin Hattley's show.
Oh, right.
Starring,
who's in that?
Dawn, sorry. Dawn Krasnowski, Lana Rosario, and Nick Glover.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
that's right.
I don't really know much about the show, but that's
but
about...
But I don't care, because the cast
again,
is...
Again, they've assembled the cast.
It really
so
doesn't
wicked.
Matter, because that's like...
Yep.
Kelvin's shows are just always
great. Kelvin's always brilliant.
Well, we start with Kelvin's show, the answer is yes.
Yep.
Then you throw Dawn's in there, icing on the cake.
Yep.
Lana Rosario, fucking cherry on top.
Yep.
Nick Glover, God, I did...
Second cake on top of cake.
Sprinkles.
You put the cake on that cake.
Right?
I should point out real quick, too, just because these things matter for folks and they're planning. Itch, Rarig Center, Bird of Seven Colors, Barbara Baker Center for Dance, Last Red Shirt, Theater in the Round, Gilligan, a Tropical Musical, Mixed Blood, which is a really cool theater. Damned If You Do, Playwright Center, The Disillusionist, Strike Theater, which is, that's the brand new one.
That's the brand spanking new one.
Which has Mike Fotis, Joe Bozek, and what's her name?
Allison Browning.
Allison Browning, yeah. Which, I don't know if we've talked about that on the show yet.
Yeah.
That theater opened maybe a month ago.
Yeah, I think it, I feel like it was really, really recent. Was, and I don't
like this. Must be the first thing they're doing.
Still drowning
yeah.
in the walls,
pretty much. Yeah, like yeah. They opened a sweet new theater space for like spoken word and storytelling and all kinds of cool shit. And they basically opened, and now they're a Fringe venue, like right off the bat.
Yeah, which is the really, way to do it.
Oh my god, it's genius.
Perfect.
Yeah. And so that's exciting. Which is that yeah. gives you a great way to check out a brand new theater run by amazing folks. Like that's a Kickstarter I backed. Like that's a really cool idea. So if you are in town and want to go see one, the amazing Neil Skoy, and two, a theater run by amazing people, that's a perfect 1-2 punch there.
Yeah.
We've got.
I have one to talk about.
Go for it. Yeah.
The Last Late Night Show on
Earth. That's the next one I had too. Yeah.
Ha ha. Yeah, that's being put on by Elizabeth S. She is one of the Fearless Fringe winners. So
yeah, one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
Or one of the people we are sponsoring.
One of the people we are sponsoring. Yep. So, and let me read the thing for you here. As the last survivors of a global apocalypse, the cast of a late-night talk show carry on producing the same show over and over again. Show business goes on even when the audience is gone in this dark comedy.
And from talking to Elizabeth, it's presumably like these, like, however many people in the cast are, as far as they know, the last people alive.
Yeah.
On the planet. And they're like, I guess we just keep doing what we've been doing.
Yep.
And maybe they're broadcasting to someone out there, or maybe they're just doing this because it's that or go crazy, or maybe they've gone crazy and that's why they're doing this. Like, that's amazing. It's such a cool idea.
Yeah. No, I love the premise.
Where's
of
that one at?
Brent Lake Bowl.
Oh, awesome. Which is a familiar venue for those of you that listen to this show.
Oh, yeah.
We've got And to Think That I Saw It at 221B Baker Street.
Oh, my God, yes.
Written by lovely and talented Tim Wick. Mm-hmm. And that one is... Sherlock Holmes crossed with Dr. Seuss, because that's right in Tim's wheelhouse.
Yes.
Because if you're going to do a mashup, just go, throw a darts at a wall of random
Why
shit.
Not? And so, strange things are afoot in the mysterious English village of Whoville. Can Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson figure out Moriarty's evil scheme before it is too late for the British Empire? And, it is, from talking to Tim, I don't know anything about what the actual plot looks like, but it is just Sherlock Holmes meets Dr. Seuss and just goes nuts.
Presumably, they speak in rhyme?
I can only imagine there's a fair amount of it, if not entirely.
Goddamn well better be.
Yeah, because, well, that's right in Tim's wheelhouse. That would not surprise me at all.
Speaking of Tim, he is also involved in The Not-So-Silent Planet,
that's
a speculative
really
storytelling show.
One.
Right? That is put together by Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe. He has...
Pablo!
Yeah. He has an open mic that he does regularly for sci-fi stuff, basically. And so this one, the teaser text is, ever imagined a world whose laws of physics differ from our own? Come listen to three regulars from the only recurring open mic dedicated to spec fic tell you about places of which you've never dreamt.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh.
That's going to be pretty exciting.
So, yeah, and that's a pretty good group. That's Allison Roaring, again.
Yep.
Jonah the Destroyer. I don't actually know that one, but I've heard the name.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. Yep.
It's like, I think he's a musician of some sort. Angela Fax, Pat Harrigan.
Pat's great. I really like Pat's stuff. Pat writes stuff that is very much in the style of H.P. Lovecraft, but is slyly funny.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's so clever.
I listened to him at one of the Encyclopedia shows.
Yes, he's great.
He did a 12-minute long lecture, which ended up at the very end, you realized, was one big, long your mom joke.
Nice.
Awesome.
He wrapped it up, you're like... Oh, holy fuck.
Yeah, no, that dude...
Oh, God damn it.
That guy's a wordsmith to the nth degree.
He's fucking
really
brilliant.
Good. Did we mention Tim Wicks in that one, too?
Yep. Well, I started with
that's right,
but
yes. That'll be a fun one. I was pissed, because I got the offer, like, hey, if you got time, and I was like, I fucking don't, because I think four of my performances for my other show overlap with that.
Yeah.
God damn it, that would have been a cool one.
You know, before I moved here, all I knew of Minnesota was, like, hockey and the Vikings and the Twins, and it was cold and stuff like that.
That's a good chunk of it.
And Minnesota, you know, Minneapolis had a big airport and it was a major city, but that's all I really knew.
Yeah.
And then I moved here and I realized that we have more talented fucking people.
I know, right?
Jesus.
Yeah, and they let me hang out with them sometimes.
That's the really freaky part.
You know, right? Yeah. And I sometimes get starstruck when I'm hanging out with people that I'm just like, I don't.
It's all we've talked about this before. It's one of those things where, like, there is no need to move away from here until there is nothing left to do here.
Yeah.
Because there's so much cool shit going on. Like, you know, for the average working actor, you can do very well, very comfortably here for a very long time. Like, you've got to be the biggest fish in this pond before it's even worth going to Chicago or LA or New York. Other shows. Here's another one that, like, I don't think I mentioned last week, so I'm going to make sure I do, because hosted by one of my favorite people, and is another one that I love the concept, Improvoice. Is another one that's sponsored by Fearless, and Young Eric decided to take a segment of Double Blind and turn it into a show, and it's ballsy, man. This is one that I think if I were offered the part, I would say no.
Oh, really?
I think I would, because I would have to do it enough times to feel like I wouldn't fuck up a show.
Kind of pants shitting. Mm-hmm.
It is. This is a scary thing.
I'm not so familiar about it, so please tell me what the idea is.
You take a bit that we do in Double Blind, it's a common kind of short form game, which is, depending where you go, it's the, you know, improv musical or sing it bitch or whatever you want to call it, but
show stopping number,
whatever it might be. But so it's an improvised take on reality singing shows like American Idol, The Voice. Audience decides what they're competing for and what their song topics might be and more. So what you've got is Molly Glover, Jeff Gillen, Lauren Haven, Aaron Cook, music by Chad Dutton.
Nice.
And basically, they come out, they kind of do the spiel, like, okay, here's them auditioning for what? And the audience kind of picks that out. And then it's like, all right, they're going to sing you a song about X. And that performer walks out, Chad starts playing music they've never heard before, and they have to sing up a song they make up on the spot and you know, bring the house down with it, which is brutally difficult. You know, they got the right cast, certainly. You know, those are incredibly talented improvisers and really funny folks, and they can actually sing. But, you know, it's for the, we talked about, once again, speaking of Aaron Kennedy, doing the, was it Lizzie the Lounge Lizard?
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Something like that, yeah. The video of which you can find on YouTube, which is she got suggestions and then sang songs with Chad. So if you want to see kind of what that would look like.
Well, she asked people what they did for a living and sang a song about that.
But, you know, made up a song with Chad providing music she wasn't expecting. So it's in theory, the execution is similar to that, if not the concept. So, like, it'll have a different kind of rapping, but it is someone kind of going, here's the music I'm getting, here's the suggestion I'm getting, I've got to do a 2 to 3 minute song, and apparently this will be more of a competition style thing to see kind of however they make that pay off at the end. And this is, again, is Young Eric, who is the guy that came up with Double Blind and produces that each month, because the High Five podcast and all the shit that we normally rag on him for. But this is a really great idea, and it's cast incredibly well, and it's going to be super, super fun. That one is at the Southern Theater, which is where my show is, which is awesome, because that means that I will probably get to see it at least a couple times.
That is such a gorgeous theater.
Either right before me or right after. And yeah, that's the other thing, too, is like I got the coolest theater out of the bunch.
got the prettiest. Although,
I goddamn love the Southern Theater.
It's good. I love Theater in the Round.
Theater in the Round is great, yeah. And again, it also depends on what you're trying to do. There's reasons you might want to perform in one or another. But as far as like a theater I want to go to and just be like, Southern totally has power for that.
But,
love it.
I will say that we're both about equidistant from the Republic, which is
we're both real close, which is important. Yeah. By the way, if you are local and you're going to go checking out some Fringe shows, Fringe Central, which if you're not familiar, is kind of they pick a bar, and essentially it's just like, okay, look, we all know we're going to want to get together and tell each other how great we are at the end of the night. So let's pick a spot.
It's where
and we'll
the
go
circle
there.
Jerk is going
to
be.
Basically.
Yeah.
Oh, God, but it's also a great spot to like meet performers and go, holy shit, I saw you do this thing. I'm going to be doing this thing in a couple months. You might be right for it. And like people get a lot of work by doing that.
Yeah.
And so it's a great networking thing. It's really fun. You meet nice people. And you might hear about shows that you wouldn't have heard of otherwise you might want to go see. So they moved it to Republic, which is in the corner there on Northeast. So if you take the Washington exit off 35W, local jokes get you local work. And it's, you know, just across, kitty corner from Town Hall, which is one of the Twin Cities Horror Festival sponsors.
Yeah.
So if you heard me talk about that last year, it's right there. But I'm two doors down from Fringe Central this year. So whenever my shows get over, I'll be heading over there to just sit and talk to people.
Yeah, me too.
And see who I can meet and what stories I can hear, because it's theater. You're going to hear amazing success stories. You're going to hear awful, awful stories of the worst flops and failure.
Oh, my God.
But hopefully with enough distance that it's funny by then.
Right.
And if not, you can buy someone a beer.
And some jackass heckler.
Right? You know, and you get all those. And you're also going to get just, like, people going, oh, my God, you like this.
you've got to meet so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And finding out that, like, there's someone that likes, you know, like, Matt Kessin will meet someone that likes Godzilla films as much as him. Yeah. You know, and...
Is that possible?
I was about to say,
if it's going to happen...
When he and Melissa Karachi
I figured that's as close as it probably
that
gets.
That was probably as good.
But you know what I mean? Or, like, you know, I'll meet someone who's just as into horror flicks as me and they're doing whatever. You know, and it'll be... You just... There's that chance of running into someone that you go, fuck yeah, and then suddenly that turns into a project 6 months or next Fringe mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, and it's open to anybody. So if you just
or a friendship,
right? And if you just enjoyed the shows or whatever, and you want to be able to go talk about it with people that are also excited about the Fringe, yeah, you can go to the Republic in Northeast there off Washington and hang out and do that on the given Fringe nights. And all the folks that are desperately partying their elation from their success or their sadness from their failure away will be there to hang out in.
Look, there's going to be booze either way, so yep. I'm there.
One or another works. So, very much looking forward to that. It's going to be great. Are there any other Fringe shows that we need to try remember this week? That's a big list already.
Right? So we got the sponsors, the Damned If You Do, Improvoice, and Late Night Show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've already talked about ours. We could do that again, but...
We did it last week. We can do it again next week. We'll be closer to the Fringe next week anyway. The ones we have a personal investment in, we'll make sure we plug a little more
because there's so many other wonderful shows. There's some dance shows. There's like a belly mm-hmm. dance show that I'm really excited about.
The Bollywood show.
There's the Bollywood show, which is just, that's going to be fantastic. Yeah. There is Loungesaurus Rex. I think the name of the show is the Loungesaurus Rex show with Loungesaurus Rex featuring Loungesaurus Rex. It's Tom Reed, who, in my mind, is like a local genius. He's one of the best unknown performers in the area. Mm. He's done a shit ton of improv, and he's also like a storyteller. I think he was Rockstar Storytellers.
Oh, really? Sure.
But yeah, like, very few people know about him, and that drives me insane, because he's just fucking ridiculously talented. He does a thing that is actually very similar to Aaron Kennedy's Lizzie thing. But he has a show at Theater in the Round, and what I really want to see at some point is the two of them just, like, moshing together and doing this lounge improv thing, just playing off of each other.
Nice.
But, yeah, I've had a theater crush on Loungesaurus Rex for ages.
So yeah, I keep seeing that pop really, up. So that's
I'm
good
really
to know
excited
that
he's playing
out.
In my venue because that makes it that much more likely I'll be able to see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll be reporting back once Fringe starts with like what we get to manage to get out and see.
Every year I have the same thought. I wish I was independently wealthy and had a lot of free
right?
time.
Oh right?
Oh my God, yeah. That's the thing. It's like, that is always the big stumbling block.
I probably am not going to go to anything this year just because I don't have the time
financially
and I don't have the money.
Time, yeah.
And I really wish that I could, during Fringe, just do nothing but go to shows all day.
Oh, my God. That'd be the best. You know, and that's, I think, I lament that. I mean, like, last year was the first time that, for the Twin Cities Horror Festival, Chip and I went to literally everything. Mm-hmm. Literally, we saw everything once, we saw most things twice, and some things three times. Because I happened to be unemployed, and we had artist passes. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I want to do the Fringe. We got to get up whenever we wanted, mm-hmm. Make sure we got to the theater an hour before the first show started, stay till the last show was over, go out with anyone that wanted to go out afterwards, get home at 3 in the morning, sleep till noon,
yep.
Get up, putz around, get to the theater by 6, do it again. And it was the best. It was the best goddamn time. Mm-hmm. And I would dare anyone to have a better theater experience than that week that we had last year. And you can do the same thing with Fringe, except you have 160 shows to look at. Mm-hmm. So you could do
dozens of venues.
You will literally run out of hours before you run out of shows. Like
it is
physically impossible.
See them
all. Yeah, and like that's how much fun this is, you know. And so like I want that opportunity. Except that even part of my time is just sucked up being in my show,
right?
Much less having my day job, less having children. You know, and so it's just like that hunks of time get cut away really quickly.
Oh yeah,
and it's like I'm gonna bust my ass to see like all the shows we've mentioned, but I bet I won't get to half.
Yeah,
because that's just how it works.
All right, I have one more.
So
that
do that
you
for
need
me,
to,
listeners.
I have one more that you need to stick on your list.
Sure.
Put on by Timmy Wren.
Ooh, of course.
H.P. Lovecraft's The Rats in the Walls.
Yes, that's right. I did hear about that. And I'm very, very much interested
in
that.
I'm like, that is pretty much everything Matt wants in a friendship.
And if I don't see it, Chip will yell at me because he'll want to know how it was. Because Timmy Wren also did a bit at, he had a show at the Twin Cities Horror Festival last year.
Well, and he's really
good at that.
Well, he's big in the horror in general.
For sure.
But yeah,
talented.
Just, you stop everything to work with him if you get the chance because it's so much fun.
I got to work with him once. It was really exciting.
So cool.
Yeah, there are some, I get starstruck sometimes when I'm talking, like when I'm talking to a Tim Uren and he, you know, knows my name, I'm like, you know my name.
For sure. No, that's how it goes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, there's so much talent. And I think we've mentioned this before, but like, yeah, the other neat thing about this Fringe Festival is that it's non-juried. It's just random draw.
Yeah.
So you will get complete out of the blue, bonkers, amateur shit, for better or worse, right next to super amazing performers.
But I also want to see that amateur bonkers.
Absolutely,
shit.
Because that's how people get their break.
Yeah.
You know, it's expensive to book a venue. We've talked about that from trying to do our shows and Fearless shows and all that. Like, finding a place to do 3 weekends that isn't going to cost you thousands can be really tough.
Well, also,
and
inspiring.
Fringe is a lot more affordable, even though even that can be expensive, which is why Fearless does sponsorships. Like, even Fringe being cheaper than the average venue is still expensive. And so, like, getting people that just out of the blue show up and go, I've always wanted to do this, or I've worked in other people's shows, but I've never been able to do my own. Here it is, kapow. And, like, they just knock your fucking socks off. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's, like, the best thing is when you find that little unknown diamond. Like, oh, that's so exciting. And, like, you know, like, we all secretly hope to be that unknown diamond some year.
Absolutely.
It's just like, oh, this is the first fully produced thing by whatever up-and-coming new company, and you're like, it's me. I'm the best now.
Yeah. just some of the press that Fearless has been getting this year has been stellar.
Yeah, Duck's show in particular has just been heaped with praise. Which,
yeah,
of course, it deserves it. I've talked about nothing but that when I talk about Fringe.
We've landed on two different lists of you should go see this show just based off of our preview.
Yep.
Which is
an excellent preview.
Ridiculous.
Again, that was a spot on preview. It was very well done. So yeah, we'll see. Like, I'm excited. We'll see. Now, you know, in 2-3 weeks, you might hear us doing the other thing that theater can cause. We're just going, fuck, man, we did our best. Everything seemed like it was lined up. But I don't know. I got high hopes. We'll see. You know. So I'm excited to see how this one turns out. I'm excited that I'll have my work schedule is better this year than it's ever been. So that, you know, I'm done at 3. I can see a show before my show.
Nice.
And then go see a show after my show some nights, you know. So I'm really going to make an effort to get out and see as much as I can. It's going to just depend on, you know, time, really, because I got an artist pass. So it's just like, if I can get to something, I'm going to see something. And if it's nothing that's on my list, then I'm just going to see whatever the fuck is there just to see it, because who knows, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, God. Air D&D.
Oh, shit, yeah, of course.
Becky's show.
Yeah.
Which, number one, has hit, like, one or two you-should-go-see-this-show things anyway, based off of previews. I keep, like, I'm really excited about that. Their preview
was Becky being
fucking
the newest
stellar.
Member of Vilification Tennis.
Yep.
And Fearless Comedy Productions.
Yeah, also new member of Fearless.
Yeah.
And also the person who I was talking shit to on Facebook not 2 hours ago about Pokemon Go. She posted, like, about to hit level 5, it was time to pick a team, which one should I choose? And I cut and pasted the train spotting monologue that's like, choose life, choose a job, choose a fucking whatever, and this is a whole paragraph of shit, choose a bigger fucking television, choose whatever to do. But no, I don't need any of that. Why? Because I've gotten, the line is heroin, but I changed it to Pokemon Go. Cheech point. Choose a higher dose of meds. It's like, you get me.
I would have responded. Yeah. I would have responded. Team Jacob. I like.
Eric Knight posted Team Team Jacob.
God.
So yeah, and it was great that there's this avalanche of non-responses after that. I was like, I hope that softens the blow. I hope she doesn't think I'm a dick. I don't know where that
was. Oh my God.
Anyway,
hate to be this person.
That was funny, yeah.
Air D&D is basically Dungeons and Dragons as couples therapy.
It's a great concept.
Which is fucking brilliant. I also need to pimp one more. I swear to God I'll be done. It's called Mead Hall. It's put on by Tedious Brief Productions.
What was the name again?
Mead Hall.
Like Mead the drink?
Yep.
Okay.
Tedious Brief Productions, which is Greer Talon and Watson Jones.
Oh.
They've done several Shakespeare mashups in the past, including Bard Fiction, which is my personal favorite because I like Tarantino and Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, Mead Hall, a one-man production of Beowulf and a wild adaptation of Roadhouse.
Neat.
What?
That sounds great.
Oh my god. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds pretty dope.
So, yeah. Add that one to the list.
Nice. All right. On that note, we will take a break. Because we've overloaded you with so many... Nope. Shut up. All right. We'll be back in just a second.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And we are going into our FESPA.
FESPA.
This one, as we're still going through really, really old ones, it comes to us from Justin Massey from, let's see here, June 22nd of 2012.
We're going back in time.
Back in time.
If we could turn back.
Nope, you went a different route. Anyway, thanks, Justin. Who is, at least I know Justin still listens, because I still get texts from Justin, because when you gave him my phone number that one time, I still get texts. Yeah, I get texts from lots of listeners. So,
well, you know, that episode is gone now, so they don't have that anymore.
Right? No, honestly, to be fair, if you are one of those people who's ever texted me because you got my phone number from that episode, that has never actually made me mad or anything. Anyone that has done that has been cool, so that's fine. If you have it,
I have to admit, the first time a package showed up at my doorstep, it was like, how the fuck did you get my address?
And you're like, oh yeah, Google
it. Yeah.
Well.
So, we're going to do a Fast Five, which is, if you're new... it's a list of five questions, A or B, Coke or Pepsi type choices. We get those sent in from listeners, ideally listeners like you. They send an email to us, which we will not be pimping yet until we know we have a consistent email address for you to use.
Actually,
have a bit of a backlog.
Yeah, we have a huge backlog.
I'm getting that set up right now as we speak. So
we'll get to it soon. But yeah, they're all A or B, Coke or Pepsi type choices. We make our decisions based on no context, and then we read a second email with the context and find out if we were right or regretful. So. Thank you, Justin, for sending this one in all those years ago. Four fucking years ago.
We've been doing this forever.
Yeah, 4 years and a month ago. So, question one. Donut or donut? D-O-N-U-T or D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T?
The fewer the letters, the faster you get to the donut.
So you're going D-O-N-U-T.
Second.
Mm-hmm. I'm going the first one just because I think as much as donut is... correct, it seems weird to me because I feel like it's, I think Mr. Donut where I grew up was always D-O-N-U-T. Mm. And so like, yeah, donut fully spelled out as dough seems odd to me.
See, donut twerks me the same way that light, L-I-T-E, does. Like, I just,
I don't like L-I-T-E, but D-O-N-U-T is, that's
fine. It's kind of just the common parlance.
The common one, but it makes me twitch a little bit.
That's fair. All right, question two. Duh, nut or Danish, which is, I believe, the way he's trying to indicate either spelling. So it's D-O, parentheses, ugh, parentheses, nut. So it's either donut or donut. Like, he's indicating either. It's just the idea is that particular food.
Mm-hmm. I like that
it's duh, nut, because that makes me happy. Yeah, so
it's donut.
Donut or Danish.
Either spelling of donut.
Your preferred
or
spelling.
Danish.
Or Danish. I like Danishes a lot.
I do love me a Danish.
I really do.
I'm a huge fan of the
Here's
Danish.
The thing. I would say your average Danish is better than 40% of donuts. But your good donut is better than your best Danish. So if you get a really good donut, better than any Danish.
Well,
any Danish is better than a cake donut.
Here's where I'm going to go on it. When I buy, every once in a while I'll do a gluten day for my team at work. And I will buy bagels, and I will buy muffins, and I will buy Glam Doll donuts.
Mm-hmm. Two of those things are amazing.
I don't buy Danishes from my team.
It's also hard to find Danishes, though, right?
Yes.
But where do you buy a Danish?
But yeah, where the hell do you go for a Danish?
Sometimes a gas station will have them in like a baggie, like you get out of the vending machine. And those aren't terrible.
Go to Wallets.
Well, sure, but that's one place you'd have to drive across the city for. But, like, you can
There's
get a donut lots
one.
Of places. Okay, yeah. Two places. I don't give a fuck. I'm just saying.
To be fair, you're talking to the person that goes to Glam Doll specifically.
I can throw a rock and hit Glam Doll. Like, that's how close that is to my house.
It's
I'm still saying I don't go
house,
there that
it's
often.
Closer.
Like, it is a block from where I live. But
I'm still saying Mellow Glaze.
Oh, that's fine, regardless. Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's a lot harder to get a Danish.
Because it's worth it.
I don't think that's why.
No, here's the... Here,
I think donuts keep better really in region of transport.
Because there's two types of donuts. There's the cake donut and there's...
I've flipped the switch in salsa.
Cake donuts are superior in every way, shape, or
They're
form.
They're the worst kind of donuts.
They're the best kind of donut.
The worst.
Way better than that fluffy lump of...
Yes, God forbid a donut would be made of sugar and joy and melt on your tongue.
Oh, the cake donut is density and flavor and deliciousness.
No, it's dry cotton mouth
what
and
the
absence
fuck?
Of,
donut,
of anything
Where are you
interesting.
Getting your donuts?
Everywhere I've ever gotten a cake donut, they taste like ass.
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
I've gone to, like, nationally recognized as, like, best donut places.
No. You're an idiot.
Well, no, that's true, but that doesn't change the fact that the donuts were supposed to be best in
the
country.
The donuts are superior. You just have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Nah, like, I went to Mr. D's, man, in La Crosse. Like, right. Top five donut places in the country. And it's like, oh, here's like a 2-pound goddamn cake donut, and it tastes like a piece of shit as soon as the frosting's gone.
Because you're a moron. Not because of any problem with the donut.
No, cake's gross.
No, you're an
idiot. Gross.
You have no clue what you're talking
about.
And
this is what I'm saying, like, the 40% of donuts are shit, those are the cake donuts.
No, you don't know, the fluffy ones are the terrible, like, Krispy Kreme... Utter shit.
Oh, God. I want you to die in a fire. And then be put out by flaming hot Krispy Kreme donuts.
They're the...
By which I mean killed again.
They are the white bread of donuts. They are boring and they don't exist. They just are nothing but air and fluff.
Someone needs to comment on this. Although we have to fix the comments, apparently. Because Pedantic Eric tried to post it.
I locked everything the fuck down.
Which is
fine.
So we may need to either go, hey, either comment on our Facebook or don't. So
I'm still going Danish, though.
Danishes are good, but I'll take my... I'm enough of a gambler to say I'll gamble on the possibility of getting a shitty donut because the good donut is better than the best Danish. So I'm going to go donut. Yeah.
I'm just going donut because Glamdahl. Okay. I really like Glamdahl.
Question 3. Danish or crepe?
Crepe.
Danish. Crepe.
Danish.
Absolutely crepe.
Mm.
Je voudrais un crepe.
I gotta be in the mood for crepe. I'm always in the mood for Danish.
Mm.
See, you can have savory
crepes. Can I have my crepe and eat it too?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can have savory crepes and sweet crepes.
That is a thing
have
that is true.
Many different Nutella
that changes
banana
nothing
crepes,
about my answer.
And they're amazing and I love
Nutella
crepe.
Crepe is pretty much the best crepe.
Absolutely.
It
with,
is good.
With
I
like
agree.
Fruit on top.
With a little Nutella. Strawberry.
Oh. Yeah, raspberries.
All right, let's get a little weirder.
All right.
Crepe or plastic?
Usually I get offered paper or plastic.
I'm going plastic just because I like the adventure.
How do you pay other people for things? I would pay them in crepes.
I really like that.
It's going to be tough to find people to do things for you.
I don't care if they offer, I'm paying them in crepes.
I think I'm going to go plastic because I don't think I'm going to bag anything in a crepe.
True. And then lastly, plastic or metal?
Metal.
Okay, cool. We're all in agreement there because we're idiots. Good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Pretty much it.
All right. Question 1, donut or duh nut? Fairly obvious, preferred spelling. I think we all nailed that one, so yeah, we stand by our answers.
Yep.
And the second one, duh nut or Danish, also obvious, preferred breakfast. I stand by my answer.
Yep.
All right. Question 3, Danish or crepe? Preferred country of origin, that is to say, Germany or France. For someone who's looking to be pedantic, Danishes are actually Austrian, but whatever. I like
it. Well, either way, I would go Austria or Germany. I got that.
Yeah, I feel like I'd go Germany, too.
Or
beer
Austria.
Beer and meat.
Austria's great.
Yeah.
Vienna's amazing.
I mean, France seems rad, too. France does cool shit, but I think if I was going to go on a trip to
fucking hated
pick,
France.
If I was going to pick one of the two to go on a trip, I'd pick Germany.
Yeah.
I'd eventually want to go to France because I eventually want to go everywhere.
Well, yeah.
But, you know.
Go to Austria.
What do you think, Jenna?
I'm not really a partial. France.
Fair enough. And question 4, crepe or plastic? Preferred streamer type?
Oh.
That's actually really smart. Crepe paper or streamer. Then I go crepe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really clever piece of shit thing you did there, Justin. question 5.
4 years ago.
Fucker.
Yep. Question 5, plastic or metal? We all said metal.
Yeah.
Preferred water bottle.
Oh.
Neither is my answer, but you have to pick one. So I guess I'm going to go metal because I could use that to, like, go trick-or-treating with a screwdriver.
Actually, well, I have used a plastic one to go trick-or-treating with a screwdriver.
I feel like the metal one, I potentially would reuse more.
I don't like the tinny taste that you can get sometimes either, with the metal, so I'm going to stay plastic.
You're more likely to be able to put hot things in it, though, and if I want to take coffee to work, I like the idea of a metal one.
I just use the travel coffee things. Yeah.
I don't use either one.
Water, right?
Not coffee. Preferred water bottle. I don't know that means you have to have water in it.
I would say,
but if you're going to have a reusable
because
bottle.
Because you put that would be a thermos.
Well, not necessarily, because I feel like if you get, like, there's, like, the plastic things that you flip up the lid, and some of them are, like, clear plastic, some of them are made of metal. People use them for water, they use them for tea, they use them for coffee, whatever. So, you know, even if we go that broader definition.
I actually have plastic water bottles and then, like, the insulated coffee things, which I think are a mix of metal and plastic, honestly.
I think they have a glass inside, don't they?
That may be.
It depends on the thing.
Yeah. I should point out, too, the note at the bottom of this is, my first set. I'm not too terribly proud of them, I'll come up with more.
Aww.
So we've done years worth of Justin's Fast Fives and never did his first one because we're dicks.
That's awesome. And then it's like, it's not that good. And we're like, it's great.
No, that was actually really good. That's
a bait and switch.
Got it in one there, Justin.
Yeah. Stop while you're ahead.
Well done. So that's dope.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, I think we're done.
We did a thing.
I feel like we did.
Did we do a thing?
We did. We managed to talk what we were up to. We managed to plug a bunch of fringe shows we care about, and we managed to do a Fast Five.
Speaking
I think we did that with
things,
no scars.
The Renaissance Festival preview thing is coming up on Sunday,
the 31st of July at the Mall of America.
At the Mall of America, I will be debuting my new act. So if you want to see what that's all about, assuming the venue lets me.
Is that still up in the air?
Yes. Anita has tentatively scheduled me, but she still needs to talk to the venue about their weapons policy.
Ah, okay.
So I
feel like you're probably going
to
be all right.
I might not be able to do it, but I might be able to do it. So you should probably go to that.
Well, if nothing else, you can show up and see Wise Fools host.
And a lot of other really cool
and a lot
stuff,
of really great
obviously.
But you can see Wise Fools host the entire event as well as perform some improv. You'll see a lot of other different acts coming up and doing different things for you. And you get there's a way to get tickets there ahead of time that are cheaper than at the door. And that's always good, because while tickets aren't outrageous, they're still a lot. I mean, it costs money to get to the festival, so if you can get them cheaper, go do that. And hey, we've got a lot of time in between introducing acts every half hour and whatnot, so if you see me standing around off stage somewhere, come up and say hi. It's always nice to meet people and talk and bullshit. So that said, I think we're done.
I think we are.
I think we did it. Well done, everybody.
Yep.
Just a short there.
Everybody gets a raise.
Hooray! Promotions for everyone.
Woohoo!
All right, so on that note, we have only one other thing we have to make sure we do, which is to say, hey, guys.
You should drink some Truestone coffee.
You should drink some Truestone coffee.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, we just brought a new box over to Salsa's house as we came over to record today, which we believe is more cold press.
It is two bottles of cold press that are in my fridge right now, and tomorrow morning that is going to be amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, and we kind of figured that the coffee goes to you this week.
Now, as much as, you know, you might think this means something different, if you would like to drink like AON does... the way to do that,
first of all, good luck.
Yeah, the way to do that is to not drink the way we do. It's to drink coffee the way we do, which is to say, good coffee, quality coffee, classy coffee,
freshly roasted coffee.
Yes, which we get from Truestone Coffee Roasters, which I have had more success giving samples to my coworkers. I swear I'm the fucking dealer at work. Because I bring in like a bottle of cold press to give to my coworkers, or I'll be like, you know, I got like a little bit left in this bag. Tell you what, I'll bring you like the last little bit of this one, because they're like, I'll talk about like this coffee, and they'll be like, oh yeah, like he's got the
I got another bag coming.
Yeah, and I was like, I know I'll get another bag soon, so here, take the last like quarter of this bag home with you. And I'll bring them, like, oh my God, that's so fucking good. I'm like, hey man, if you want to order it, like, they'll deliver, and if you use my code, you get 10% off. I'm like, fucking cool, man. And so I've done that for like six people now. It's been great.
Well.
Because maybe it sounds dorky, but like, this is a thing that I pimp not on the podcast. Like, I actually do care. Like, we actually do love these guys, because one, they're very kind to us, and two, they have a really good product. If either of those things was not true, we would not do this. So, again, wherever you live, presumably in the continental North America area, maybe you can get shit shipped to Australia. Katie, let us know. Report back. But
yes.
But, yeah, you can get yourself some beans or some cold brew shipped to you. Use the code APROPOS and you'll get those shipped to you at a discount. So check out truestonecoffee.com. They are truly wonderful folks making a great product that are doing an amazing thing in supporting some local podcasters and theater companies and all that good shit. So enjoy your coffee and know that you're supporting some folks that are helping support us. So finally, with that said, we can say have yourselves a wonderful night. Have a good week. Eat the fucking cake.
Night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my beer and I would like to remind you to support the incomparable Brandon Muffuckin' Patton, whom you can find at BrandonPatton.com. He's been kind enough to donate all the music you've heard so far tonight. You may also find him on tour with MC Frontalot, whom you can find at Frontalot.com. Lastly, if you'd like to support the show directly, please leave us a review or rating on iTunes, and you can even donate money through PayPal on our website, AONPodcast.com. Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone! Microphone!
Also testing this microphone.